All right, everybody, it's that time. Sooners Illustrated game preview time, week one of the 2026 season. Finally, on Friday night, Oklahoma hosting UTEP at the stadium. Josh Calloway, Brody Lusk, Tom Green with you. Feels good. First game of the season, 7 p.m. kick Friday night down there in Norman. Obviously, fellas, you know, we've been in this boat before. These season opener games that are, you know, games where Oklahoma is going to be a massive favorite. We did it last year with Illinois State, 2 years ago, Temple. It's the norm. We've done this pretty much every year since the dawn of time. It feels like where OU kind of opens up with a bit of a light game to begin the year. You never really know how much you're going to learn, but it is going to be nice just to see, just to get eyes on the team and eyes on these new players. Definitely excited, right? Just to see this team. We talked about them for the last 8 months, however long. Finally get a chance to see them play, see these new guys. And again, don't know how much we'll learn, but it will be valuable just to finally get to see this team actually play a game on Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, I'm not sure how much we're going to learn, especially about this offense. You know, I expect that they'll put up a decent number of points, but you know, with Michigan looming in week two, I don't think they're going to, you know, show their whole hand. They're going to probably keep things pretty vanilla and, you know, probably focus on a few things that they feel like over the last month they still need to clean up from fall camp and just make sure they're really on their P's and Q's heading into week two.
Yep. Good to be back out there. I mean, this time of the year, good to see the season start again. Yeah. Who knows how much we'll learn, but maybe we'll get to see some of these lower guys on the roster make some plays in the second half. So we'll see. But, you know, weird Friday night game. This whole week has just felt weird going down there on a Friday night for the game. But should be good to get the season going again.
For sure. You know, the Friday thing, you know, we did it a couple years ago, you know, with Temple. That was the first time Oklahoma had opened the season on a Friday. Now, obviously, 2 years later, doing it again with UTEP coming in. We talked about it at the time whenever they announced it. Felt like it was just as simple as you'd rather play this game at night to stay out of the heat. And Saturday night as opposed to Friday night, you get the extra day before you head up to Ann Arbor. Makes perfect sense. Brent Venables talked about it this week, like not crazy about the high school conflict, but also not something they do all the time, you know, kind of a special circumstance. And so it is a little different. You know, they've played on Fridays before, but not something that happens all the time. And, yeah, it'll be very just nice to get out there and see this team. You know, the reality is a lot of times, and also we'll get into our keys and all that stuff as we kind of break down what we're going to be watching for in this game. But these types of games, doesn't it kind of almost feel like it's more you can – have bad vibes more than good? I mean, if they don't run the ball very well, if they are struggling, you know, to create big plays or whatever it may be, you kind of, there's more of a chance of taking some bad things away than good, just kind of the way it goes when you're a massive favorite. But it'll be fun to get out there and finally get to see this team play finally in 2026. So if you're new to the game preview show, the way this works, we just have three segments that we do: keys to the game, players to watch, and then we'll pick the game with our final score predictions. By doing that, we kind of covered all the different angles, all the different little storylines we're going to be watching for within the game each week. We'll do this every Friday at noon, obviously Thursday today with the game being up a day. So without further ado, let's get into our keys to the game. Tom, you can start. Key for Oklahoma on Friday, and again, this is a little more subjective. It can be obviously in a week-to-week as far as something Oklahoma needs to do to win said game or something they need to do to moving forward, big picture, however you want to take it. What are you going to be watching for? What's the biggest key for Oklahoma to accomplish Friday night against UTEP?
I'm going to keep this really simple. And the key for Oklahoma is going to be get out of this game healthy. Again, with Michigan looming in week two and that test up in Ann Arbor, they need to get out of this game, you know, handle business, get out of there as healthy as you can be, because you're already dealing with a few injuries. You know, we've talked about the couple guys banged up on the offensive line that are probably going to be held out this week. You know, there's a couple other offensive pieces that, you know, are questionable going into this game right now that we've talked about with, you know, Parker Livingston and Jonathan Hatton maybe not being available. We'll see about that. But at the end of the day, like, you just need to handle your business and get through this game without, you know, anybody else dropping.
Yeah, I would go run the ball. You know, this should be a game where you should be able to create some positive momentum with the run game. So I'm looking for that. Against a team like UTEP, you know, we're not going to sit here and say, oh, they ran the ball really well. This is this, but just to see it in the season opener, I think would be a good sign. Looking like a Xavier Robinson or Lloyd Avant or potentially Jonathan Hatton, Andy Bass. We'd like to see those guys have a nice game, run the ball well, and just start the season on a positive note with the run game.
Agree totally. To quote Amarian Harris earlier in the camp, run the damn ball. That would definitely be my biggest key as well. I agree with Brody. Like, again, not that if they run the ball at will in this game, you're going to come out of it saying, oh, wow, they fixed the run game. But the opposite is definitely true. If they can't move the, UTEP around a little bit and chew up some yardage on the ground, I think we're all going to be kind of like, oh, God, that's not great. So agree totally with that. Agree with Tom as well. Stay healthy. Don't need any unnecessary injuries. You would think you could play everyone in this game. I don't know. Like, the starting 11 on defense especially, I don't know. After like the first half, maybe not even that, I don't think there doesn't seem to be a lot of reason to play Taylor Wine like a crazy amount of snaps in this game. Like, you know what I mean? That's just one example. So I agree with both of those completely. I would throw in for me a key, just turnovers both ways. Take care of the football if you're John Mateer. And then really more importantly, force some on defense. We talked about it a lot last year. It feels like a long time ago because they end up getting them later in the year. And obviously a lot of time has just passed between now and then. But you guys remember, September, they didn't have any last year. And it was kind of a thing early in the season. Like, are they going to force turnovers at some point? It would be nice and just create some good vibes, especially going up to Michigan in the second game of the year, to go get a couple. Get an interception, maybe Taylor Wine get the strip sack. Something like that, I think, would be a really welcome sight on Friday. Because, it does feel like turnovers are kind of contagious. Like, they come in bunches. And so get that rolling now before you head up to Michigan, because it would be nice in Ann Arbor in front of 110,000 people to go get a couple short fields for your offense. So a couple turnovers would be nice. And they've talked about it. The defense has been very open about that being a major emphasis this offseason, to create more turnovers. So let's see it against UTEP. I like to see two or three. That would be, I think, a welcome sight on Friday night for sure.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they kind of come out on that end with the turnovers, because last year UTEP was one of the worst in the country in turnover margin. I think they averaged something like two turnovers per game, might have been a little bit more. But also, like Brent Venable said the other day, like, we don't know too much about this offense just because they've brought in a lot of different pieces. They're changing a lot, so there's a lot of unknown about it. So I'm curious to see what that kind of looks like in terms of year-to-year differences for them. But if it's anything like last year, Oklahoma's going to have their opportunities to get the ball.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, well, two players to watch. So this is just someone you're watching for in the game for whatever reason it may be. We try not to double up, and we also – it kind of goes without saying that we're not going to – pick the same guys every week. Brody, you can start. Your very first player to watch. Where do your eyes go? What are you going to be watching for? Who are you excited to see play on Friday night?
I think Elijah Thomas is a natural one. Like he's in the mix to start, especially if Parker Livingston doesn't go on Friday night. So I'm interested to see what he can do in this game. We've obviously heard all about him all fall camp and talked all about him. And it would be nice to see him go out there and kind of just prove it in the first game, especially with Michigan looming. I think he's a easy player to watch. And if he could go out there and make some plays, I think it would really just solidify what we've heard throughout fall camp with him.
100%. Very excited. It'd be really nice, just good vibes, if he goes out there and makes a few plays. I think you're kind of hoping for that from certainly the running back room as well. But yeah, Elijah Thomas, go out there, make a couple of nice catches, maybe get in the end zone. That'd be great. Great vibes moving forward. For me, I'll there's a bunch, because there's a bunch of new guys and guys that we're looking forward to popping. I'll go on defense. I'll go with Cole Sullivan. Just excited to see him. He's the one guy on defense who's new as far as the 12 starters, quote unquote, right? We've talked a lot about the camp he's had, him kind of being that perfect replacement for Kendall Daniels, the way that his teammates have talked about him. They've raved about him going back to the media day and obviously throughout fall. That has not stopped. And just excited to see him get out there and move around it and fly around the field. You don't really get a feel for defensive guys and new defensive guys in the spring game. You kind of do, but not really, not to a great extent. And so to actually see him full speed tackling, trying to make plays, is going to be exciting. So I'm very excited to see Cole Sullivan play for the first time in an Oklahoma uniform in an actual game setting. I look forward to that on Friday.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked him, because that means I hope you're not going to pick him next week when he's the obvious choice for Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. That's extremely true.
But I'm going to go back to the offensive side and kind of piggyback off of, you know, Brody's earlier point about his key to the game with running the ball. I want to see Lloyd Avant.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who, look, we don't know whether he's going to be the first on the field or whether it's going to be Xavier Robinson, their list's co-starters. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Lloyd Avant, just based off everything we've heard over the last 8 months about how consistent he's been and how, you know, like Brent Venables said, he's a quiet guy, but his game talks very loud, the way he approaches everything. And I'm interested to see, because, look, they're going to really try to run the football. They're going to make that a point of emphasis. And I want to see what Lloyd Avant looks like. And again, UTEP, they're not a great team. Their defense is not going to be very good. But, you know, in his first 2 years, Lloyd Avant's only had two games with more than a dozen carries. I'd like to see what it looks like when he gets a decent workload and see what he can do. I still think, you know, Xavier Robinson's going to get his share of carries. If Jonathan Haddon plays, he's going to, you know, be able to make some plays against that defense too. But I really am interested in seeing what Lloyd Avant is able to do in a potential starting or leading role in that backfield.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just seeing what he can do. We've obviously heard a lot about him, and I think it was coming in, you'd think he's like a utility back, and I would like to see, you know, this Friday night, can he be more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Is he more than just a utility receiving back, pass blocking? And it sounds like that's what he's been, you know, more than that. So it'll be interesting to see if he can go out there and just prove it against UTEP. I think with the running back room, it's going to come down to who plays well against UTEP, probably goes out there first against Michigan. Yep. So I do think that this game will have an impact on who we see get the bulk of carries against a team like Michigan. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see which of those two perform the best, and specifically Lloyd Avant, just first game at this level, first game at Oklahoma. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I had kind of figured the last couple of weeks I probably was going to go with Haddon for this, but if you kept up Sooner's little share reporting, not 100% that he's going to be out, but he's been a little nicked up the last couple of days. So there's a chance he doesn't play, so I stayed away from it. But if he is a go, like Tom said, which, again, it's a little bit up in the air right now, keep up with Sooner's Illustrated. Brody's been all over it with some injury updates this week. That would be right up there for me as far as just excited to see. I'm very eager to see him. I don't want to wait another week. We might have to, but definitely look forward to getting eyes on him and Lloyd Avant. I mean, the running back room is very, very interesting still. It's been kind of an open-ended, interesting thing, and fall camp is now in the rear view, and it still feels like it's a little bit of a, I don't know what it's going to actually look like when we get to the end of the year. You know, that's still a question mark.
Yeah, with Haddon, have heard better things today as far as his availability. I lean towards he'll play. But if he didn't, it would just kind of be a precautionary, you know, it's UTEP. Tom mentioned at the beginning of this, you want to get through this healthy. But there's not much to be concerned about there long term. But I think right now leaning towards he plays, but still a chance he doesn't. So we'll see. But, yeah, it'll be – I mean, first game. I also, with the running back room, I'm wondering what it's going to look like with Andy Bass. Is he going to come in on passing downs early in the game? So we'll see.
All right, we can pick this thing. UTEP was very bad last year. I don't think it's expected to be much better. I'm not going to pretend to know the full ins and outs of their roster, but if you're unfamiliar, 2-10 last year, they were around the 100 mark in most of the major categories, scoring off the throw offense, defense, scoring and total. You know, they're right around 100 mark in all those categories. So it wasn't good. It wasn't good. They went 2-10. They did, as Brent Venables noted in his press conference, kind of give Texas a halfway game last year in September. They were only down 4 at the half against Texas last year. I think the final score was 27-10 that I saw earlier. So, like, they were kind of halfway in that with Texas last year. But obviously, it was a rough year, 2-10, and we'll see what they look like this time around this season. That said, I'll start on final score predictions. You know, if you've been with us the last couple of years, you know that I'm very, very hesitant to pick a shutout because it's just so hard. I mean, one anything, and we saw it last year, like one turnover, whatever, it gives them a short field, they make a field goal. So I've never done it because it's hard. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick a shutout, which I've never done before. I just I feel bad things are coming for UTEP. I really worry for their offensive line. I don't feel good about it for them. So I'm going to go 55-0. That's going to be my score for Oklahoma. I think offense has a big day. They score. I think they run the ball, a couple Sandell field goals. And, yeah, I think the defense pitches a shutout. I'm going to lean that John Mateer does take care of the ball, doesn't provide any short fields, and I just have a hard time imagining UTEP will be able to drive it well enough to get into field goal range if Oklahoma can't avoid those turnovers, which I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt that they will. So 55-0. I think Oklahoma wins big heading up to Ann Arbor next week.
Yeah. Just for context for Josh there, the spread I believe is 41.5. So you're taking them to cover. Yeah, and I think the over under is
out of practice.
I think the over under is 51.5 last I checked. So you're taking them to cover and hit the over. I'm going to split the difference there with you. I also think that they're going to pitch a shutout. You know, they only had one shutout last year. It was against Kent State. You know, UTEP, similarly bad team as Penn State. I'm going to go with 45-0, which, again, is going to be a shutout. And it's also going to be more points than they scored in any game last season. You know, last year it was at 44 points against Kent State. So I think they're going to come out of the gate. They're going to score more than they did in any game last season. I don't know if all that's going to come on offense. I would not be surprised if the defense got a touchdown in this opening game, or if we saw, you know, a punt return touchdown from Isaiah Satania, because again, UTEP just is not expected to be very good this year. I think, you know, their average expected wins are like 3. They're 127th out of 138 FBS teams in SP Plus, 125th offensive, 115th on defense, 114th on special teams, and they're 128th in returning production, with just about a third of their production from last season coming back. Now, when you're a team that only, you know, won 2 games, maybe not bringing back all that production is a benefit, really. Yeah. So we'll see. But I just expect Oklahoma to be able to name its score. But I think, you know, they're going to kind of take their foot off the gas in the second half and get some of those younger guys in.
You almost convinced me to pick a shutout as well. I'll be the one person who doesn't do it. I'll give UTEP 3 points. So I'll go 56-3. Oklahoma wins. You know, EJ Colson, their quarterback, he can move. I think he was at Incarnate Word last year, I believe. Yeah. Still, I don't think it matters all that much with their offensive line. I think none of them have started a game. So, yeah, it's going to be ugly. I guess I'll give them getting a field goal in the fourth quarter, just going down there, kicking it in. Yeah, well, I'll give them 3 points, but wouldn't be shocked if it's a shutout. I think it's going to be over very quickly. I don't think we'll see John Mateer in the second half if all goes according to plan. So I'll go 56-3.
Who do you think we see first in the second half, Whit Neubauer or Bo Bentley?
See, that's interesting, because I think Whit Neubauer is that backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if they go with Bo Bentley first, like in the third quarter, and let him get his feet under him, and then go with Whit Neubauer in the fourth. I could see that. I think I would lean towards seeing Whit Neubauer first, but it wouldn't shock me if Bo Bentley goes out there first.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they start the second half with Whit for like 2 drives and then let Bo just like see what he can do in his first game.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
sure. No, I'm very interested. And I, you know, what do you guys? I mean, you talk about the quarterbacks, but just really the team in general. I mean, how deep? I would think the whole roster plays in this game, or like the whole 2 deep. But like, how quickly? I mean, defense, they rotate a bunch anyway, and so like everyone's gonna get in there pretty quick, I would think. But like offensively, especially, how long are you sticking with the starting O line? How long are you sticking with Trell Harris and Satania? Like, there's kind of a fine line there, like. You want to get some good vibes and some reps for the new guys, especially the offensive line working together before you go up to Ann Arbor. But also, like Tom said at the very top of this, like, you can't have an injury in this game. Yeah. So that's tough. That's a tough line to kind of toe in a game like this.
I think you should let the offensive line, whatever that first 5 looks like in this game, get a few drives together and get a little momentum. But then, like, let's say Noah Best starts at right guard. I think after like the 3rd drive, maybe going into the 4th drive, somewhere in the 2nd quarter, you get Hito Zaida in there and get him those reps at either left guard or right guard, and just make sure that, like, hey, you're good with everybody going into that Michigan game and everybody feels comfortable. But you also want that starting unit, even if it does look different in Michigan, whether that's, you know, Jake Michael returning or Ryan Foje being good to go. Like, you want them to have some momentum working together, even if it is, you know, against a team that's not expected to be very good.
I also look at a guy like Caleb Nida. Maybe he plays significantly more than the other four on the offensive line just to kind of get more reps with him. I could see that because I think outside of him, we probably Gunnar Allen will play a good bit at center in this game. So it'll be interesting, but I think I could see Nida playing a little longer. Should get a good look at like a Peyton Joseph or a Deacon Schmidt, Fred Hinton. So it'll be good to see what those guys have in a game setting like this.
I do wonder if instead of Gunnar Allen, we see Noah Best work at center behind Caleb Nida just to you think back to 2 years ago. And I know a lot of people want to erase that 2024 season from their memory, but you get into week two and you're already on your fourth center because, you know, Troy Everett was coming off that knee injury. You know, Branson Hickman sprained his ankle in the opener. Garen Hatchett tore his pec, and all of a sudden you're down to Josh Bates as your fourth center and you don't really have anybody behind him. So I do wonder if, like, just to make sure that Noah Best has some reps at center in case of emergency, if we see him some, you know, at some point there on Friday.
Yeah, I would wonder if that would happen early too, and then they throw Hito Zaida in at right guard and just see that five play. I think that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Who do we like for first touchdown of the season?
I know Brody already called this on the board a couple weeks ago.
I didn't see it. Who was it?
I think I had Mateer rushing touchdown, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can't remember who. Oh, I do. I had a bold take. I said Isaiah Satania punt return touchdown.
For the first?
For the first.
Now got that happening.
That's assuming Oklahoma's defense takes the field first.
Yeah. So that's before the offense even touches the ball. You got Satania taking one. Yeah.
That's super bold. If you nail that, that is
bold.
Or it's if the offense, you know, the offense settles for a field goal on its first drive. So you got a couple opportunities there, but I'm going to go real bold, and I'm going to say Isaiah Satania punt return touchdown if the defense takes the field first.
I think it's going to be a tight end, but I can't tell if I think it's going to be Hanson or Beers. I'm going to say Hanson. I'm going to say they get in the red zone and they find the big man in the red zone for the first touchdown of the year. But excited. I'll tell you what, if they start the first drive and don't score a touchdown, bad vibes already. Bad. I think everyone's going to – there'll be some groans if they set up for a field goal first drive. Not expecting to score every drive, but first drive, you want to set the tone for sure. So,
What if Tate Sandell knocks one down from 60 on the first drive of the season?
That'd be cool, but also, like, man, they had to settle for
a 60-yard field goal. They should not be taking a 60-yard field goal on the first drive. That'd be bad.
The ball should fly. It's hot. The ball should be moving on a hot Friday night. I'm excited, very excited to get this thing going. We'll be there, obviously, all three of us at the stadium on Friday night. Full coverage throughout the day and throughout the night into the wee hours of the morning on Friday. Again, I'll say full coverage over the website. Subscribe, promo code below Tom over there, Sooner60. Use that, subscribe. Also, we actually have our Fall Camp special right now, 75%. So take advantage of that right now, obviously, or our season opener special, I should say, for the start of the season. And be with us all season long, full coverage all day. On the YouTube after the game, that's the place every game day to hear from Brent Venables, Ben Arbuckle, John Mateer, the team. And Brody and I will be going live on the YouTube after the game. It's a new thing we're doing this year, so keep an eye out for that. Subscribe, turn on notifications so you can know when we go live, and be with us in the live chat. We want to hear from you in real time after the game all season long. So we'll do that for the first time late Friday night after Oklahoma opens up with UTEP. All right, I think that's it for now. For Tom Green, Brody Lusk, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll see you Friday night at the stadium, Oklahoma, hosting UTEP to open up the 2026 season.
Out of the shadows of Paramount Mountain, three heroes level up. Axe, Tyrus, and Gilius battle against the evil giant Death Adder to save the kingdom of Uria from so much peril. Laser knives, ornery dwarves, bad brothers, sentient skeletons, sword scorpions, death armor, fire, and this thing, that thing, whatever that is, so much peril and heroes.
This is just the beginning of the story of Hampton Square.
Golden Axe, new series streaming September 16th on Paramount+.